In a world of change, where do you belong? The answer's clear, it's time to be strong. Mindful growth, that's where we thrive. With Angela's guidance, watch your best self arrive. Transform with strong, reach for the stars. Resilient minds, that's who we are. Awakening potential, near and far. Angela R. Strong, raising the bar.
Welcome to Transformation Talk with Angela R. Strong. I'm your host, Angela, and today we're diving deep into one of the most powerful combinations for personal growth. And that is the synergy between emotional intelligence and resilience. You know, I used to believe that being resilient meant being tough, pushing through difficulties with gritted teeth and keeping emotions at bay. But through years of research, personal experience, and working with countless clients, I've discovered something profound. And that is true resilience isn't about emotional suppression. It's about emotional mastery. In our previous episodes, we've explored various aspects of resilience, from mindfulness practices to aligning our decisions with our core values. Today, we're taking this journey further by understanding how our emotional landscape shapes our ability to bounce back, adapt, and even thrive in the face of challenges. Whether you're a leader looking to build a more resilient team, someone navigating personal transitions, or someone simply seeking to enhance your emotional well-being, today's episode will provide you with transformative insights and practical tools to elevate both your emotional intelligence and your resilience. Remember, this isn't just about surviving life's challenges. It's about developing the emotional agility to turn those challenges into opportunities for growth. Let's begin by reframing our understanding of emotional intelligence, or EQ. While IQ measures cognitive capabilities, EQ represents something equally valuable: our ability to navigate the complex terrain of emotions, both within ourselves and in our interactions with others. The traditional model of emotional intelligence includes four components, but I want to take you deeper into each one. First is self-awareness. Beyond just recognizing emotions, this is about understanding their origins, identifying emotional patterns and triggers, recognizing how your emotions influence your thoughts and behaviors. Understanding your emotional heritage, how your upbringing shapes your emotional responses. Self-management, developing emotional regulation strategies, creating healthy emotional boundaries, building emotional resilience through conscious response choices. Understanding the difference between responding and reacting. 3, social awareness. Reading emotional undercurrents in groups and relationships. Understanding cultural and contextual influences on emotions. Developing genuine empathy versus sympathy, recognizing collective emotional patterns. 4, relationship management. Using emotional awareness to deepen connections. Navigate conflicts with emotional intelligence. Creating emotional safe spaces for others. Building emotional bridges across differences. But here's what most people don't realize about emotional intelligence. It's not just about managing emotions. It's about leveraging them as data points for deeper understanding and more effective action. Let's explore the fascinating neuroscience behind emotional intelligence and resilience. Research has shown that our emotional brain, which is the limbic system, and our thinking brain, the prefrontal cortex, are intimately connected. When we experience stress or strong emotions, our amygdala, the brain's emotional center, can override our rational thinking in what's known as the amygdala hijack. But here's the exciting part. Through developing emotional intelligence, we can actually strengthen the neural pathways between our emotional and our rational brains. I've done research on the recent neuroplasticity and emotional regulation. So let's go over some of those findings. Let's start with key findings on neural mechanisms. The prefrontal amygdala connectivity. There's enhanced understanding of how the prefrontal cortex regions modulate amygdala activity during your emotional responses. There's discovery of specific neural pathways that strengthen with repeated emotional regulating practices. There's evidence of structural changes in white matter, tracts connecting PFC and amygdala following emotional regulation training. Neuroplastic changes. There's identification of increased gray matter density in anterior cingulate cortex following mindfulness training. There is documentation of the enhanced neural network efficiency in emotional regulation circuits after consistent practice. There's also evidence of rapid synaptic remodeling in responses to emotional regulation exercises, clinical applications, and interventions. Mindfulness-based approaches have demonstrated increases in prefrontal cortical thickness following an 8-week mindfulness program. There is enhanced connectivity between attention networks and emotion centers. Reduce amygdala reactivity to emotional stimuli after sustained practice. During cognitive training interventions, there was a development of targeted cognitive exercises showing promise in strengthening emotional regulation networks. Evidence of transferable skills from training to real-world emotional challenges. Documentation of sustained neural changes persisting months after intervention completion. Age-related considerations, specifically for the developmental perspectives, there's critical periods that were identified for emotional regulation skill development. Evidence of enhanced plasticity during adolescence for emotional regulation circuits. There is documentation of successful interventions across different age groups. In the aging and plasticity portion, there was a preservation of neuroplastic potential in emotional regulation networks throughout adulthood. Age-specific adaptations in intervention approaches, evidence of compensatory neural mechanisms in older adults, technological advances in research, specifically neuroimaging contributions. They showed a higher resolution mapping of emotional regulation networks. real-time visualization of neural changes during regulation attempts, enhanced understanding of individual differences in regulation strategies, and measurement techniques. There was a development of more sensitive measures for detecting subtle neural changes, integration of multiple measurement modalities for comprehensive assessment. There was also advanced analysis methods for tracking network dynamics. Future research directions shown in emerging areas: investigation of epigenetic factors in emotion regulation capacity, exploration of neural immune system interactions, development of personalized intervention approaches. In methodological advances, there are implementation of machine learning for predicting intervention outcomes, development of more precise targeting methods for specific neural circuits, and integration of multiple measurement modalities for comprehensive assessments. In specific treatment applications, there's guidelines for optimizing intervention timing and intensity, identification of biomarkers for treatment responsiveness, development of targeted interventions for specific regulatory deficits, and in individual differences, there is a recognition of varying plasticity potential across individuals. There's also an importance of personalizing interventions based on neural profiles, an impact of environmental factors on intervention effectiveness. All of this science explains why emotionally intelligent people tend to be more resilient. They develop stronger neural integration, where they have better communication between emotional and rational brain areas, more effective stress response systems, enhanced ability to maintain perspective during challenges. Improved stress recovery. They show a faster return to baseline after emotional activation, better cortisol regulation, more effective emotional processing. 3, enhanced adaptive capacity. There's a greater flexibility in response to change, improved problem solving under pressure, better access to creative resources during stress. Let's translate this understanding into practical action. I'm going to share some advanced strategies that go beyond basic emotional awareness. First, we have the PAUSE framework. PAUSE, the PAUSE framework. P, it stands for pause and notice the emotion. A, accept the emotion without judgment. U, understand its message. S, seek the need behind the emotion. E, engage with conscious choice. I'm going to guide you on a real-time pause exercise. Welcome to this mindful pause practice. This simple but powerful technique can help you center yourself, regulate your emotions, and return to the present moment. I want you to find a comfortable position, either seated or standing, where you can feel relaxed but yet alert at the same time. And you can keep your eyes closed or you can open it for this exercise. P, pause in present moment. Take a deep breath in. Let it out. Simply stop what you're doing. Drop your shoulders. Feel your feet on the ground. And notice that you're here and now, in this moment. A, acknowledge. Notice what's happening in your body right now. What sensations are present? What emotions are you feeling? What thoughts are moving through your mind? There's no need to change anything. Just simply acknowledge what's there. You understand with curiosity. Bring a gentle curiosity to your experience. Why might you be feeling this way? What needs might be present? What's important to you in this very moment? Remember, you don't need to fix or change anything. S, step back. Imagine taking a step back from your experience. Create a little bit of space between you and whatever it is that you're feeling. Notice that you are not your thoughts or your emotions. You are the awareness observing them. I want you to feel the spaciousness of this perspective. E, engage mindfully. Now ask yourself, what matters most right now? What will be the most helpful? How can I move forward with awareness? Take a moment to choose your next action cautiously. Take one more full breath in. Let it out. Know that you can return to this pause practice anytime you need to center yourself. When you're ready, bring gentle movement back to your body. And if you have your eyes closed, you can open them. If you're doing a full pause practice, give yourself 5 to 10 minutes. If you're doing a brief one, give yourself 1 to 2 minutes. Each step take 30 seconds to 2 minutes, depending on how much time you have available. And there are different variations of this. You have the standing pause, which focuses on your body sensations and your grounding. The walking pause, you practice it while you're moving mindfully. The lying down pause, it emphasizes full body relaxation. And if you only have a couple of minutes, then you can do the mini pause. Give yourself a brief 30-second check-in with each of those parts. You can use the pause during transitions, before important conversations, when you're feeling overwhelmed, as a regular practice, in response to stress, before making decisions. Some tips for a practice. Keep it simple. Trust your experience. No need for perfection. Throw it out the window. Practice regularly. Adapt the length as needed. And use your natural breathing. The second exercise we have is emotional mapping exercise, where you'll be creating detailed emotional landscapes. Understanding emotional triggers and patterns. Developing personalized response strategies. And building emotional vocabulary. Third, we have advanced self-reflection practices. You have emotional journaling with pattern analysis. Somatic awareness exercises. Timeline therapy techniques, values-based emotional processing. Fourth, you have relationship enhancement strategies. There's emotional mirroring techniques, advanced empathy practices, conflict resolution with emotional awareness, building emotional support networks. Let's explore how to integrate these practices into various life contexts. First, we have your professional setting. In your professional settings, you lead with emotional intelligence, build resilient teams, manage emotional dynamics in the workplace, and creating psychologically safe environments. Second, you have your personal relationships, deepening emotional connections, navigating family dynamics, building resilient partnerships, teaching emotional intelligence to your children. Three, you have your personal growth. Using emotions as catalysts for change, building emotional wisdom, developing emotional agility, creating sustainable resilience practices. Let's address some deeper questions about emotional intelligence and resilience. We are now at our question and answer portion of the podcast. Thank you all for the questions, by the way. First question, how can we differentiate between emotional awareness and emotional entanglement? That is such a great question. Emotional awareness is like being a skilled observer of your emotional landscape, while emotional entanglement is being caught in the undertow. Here's how to differentiate them. Let's start with emotional awareness. You can identify and name emotions without being overwhelmed by them. You observe feelings like watching clouds pass across the sky. You maintain perspective while acknowledging emotions. You can step back and analyze your emotional responses. You make conscious choices about how to respond to feelings. For example, when feeling angry about a colleague's comment, you can recognize I'm experiencing anger and choose how to address it constructively, right? Whereas emotional entanglement, you have emotions that control your behavior rather than inform. You struggle to separate yourself from the feeling. Your judgment becomes clouded by emotional intensity. You react automatically without reflection. You feel helpless to regulate your emotional state. For example, the same colleague's comment sends you into a spiral of rage where you can't think clearly and react impulsively. Ways to move from entanglement to awareness is you will need to practice mindfulness to build observer consciousness. Use I am experiencing rather than I am language. Create space between stimulus and response. Develop emotional vocabulary for nuanced recognition. Regularly check in with your emotional state. Second question, what role does cultural background play in emotional intelligence? Cultural background profoundly shapes emotional intelligence through value systems. In your value systems, you have different cultures that prioritize different emotional expressions. Some value collective harmony over individual expressions, whereas others emphasize direct communication of feelings. Cultural norms influence acceptable emotional displays. You also have family traditions that shape emotional learning patterns. Communication styles. You have high context versus low context emotional expression. Varying comfort levels with emotional disclosure. Different interpretations of nonverbal cues. And there's cultural rules about power distance affecting expression. You also have diverse approaches to conflict and emotions in different cultures. Cultural considerations. Recognition that EQ looks different across cultures. There's an importance of cultural humility and emotional understanding. There's also a need for flexibility in emotional intelligence application. Value of learning multiple emotional languages. Understanding cultural trauma impacts on EQ. Third question, how can we maintain emotional intelligence during crisis situations? Some crisis management strategies. We have the preparation phase. Develop strong emotional baseline awareness. Create crisis response plans that include emotional check-ins. Build support networks before they're needed. Practice stress management techniques also, and do those regularly. Identify personal emotional triggers. During crisis, use grounding techniques. 5-4-3-2-1 sensory exercises is an example of that. Implement structured emotional check-ins. Maintain routine for emotional stability. Practice conscious breathing techniques. Focus on what's within your control. During the recovery action stage, you want to process emotions through structured reflection. Seek support from trusted sources. Learn from emotional responses during crisis. Adjust strategies based on experience. Strengthen emotional resilience through review. Last question. What's the relationship between emotional intelligence and authenticity? It's another great question. The connection between both of those is they have these foundational elements where they both require self-awareness. They both involve honest self-reflection. They both contribute to genuine relationships. They both support personal growth. They both require ongoing practice. Now, here's where you have to have a balancing act between the both of them. Managing emotions while remaining genuine. Expressing feelings that are appropriately shown without suppressing them. Being true to yourself while considering others. Maintaining professional standards while being authentic. Navigating social expectations while honoring personal truth. Some integration strategies for those are developing clear personal values, practice conscious emotional regulation, choose authentic expression methods, balance your vulnerability with boundaries. That's a very important one. Align your actions with inner truth. The key points for integration. Emotional intelligence enhances authentic expression. Authenticity strengthens emotional understanding. Both skills support each other's development. Neither requires perfection. They both allow growth. Remember that. Together, they create a genuine connection. As we conclude this deep dive into emotional intelligence and resilience, I want to leave you with a powerful truth. Your emotions are not obstacles to overcome. They are a guidance system for living a more authentic and resilient life. I invite you to commit to one emotional practice this week. Start small, but make sure you start now. Whether it's the pause framework we discussed or simply expanding your emotional vocabulary, each step forward strengthens your resilience muscle. For additional resources, including the emotional mapping template and the guided exercises we discussed today, you can join our Facebook community that we just started. It is called Calibrated Living Network. Again, that's our Facebook community. It's private, Calibrated Living Network, where you can also share your journey and connect with others on this path of emotional growth. I made it private so that you are able to share your thoughts and your feelings with a community that you can trust. You can reach me at Angela@AngelaRStrong.com to ask questions, for coaching sessions, or to book me. Follow me on Instagram at Angela_R_Strong. Follow me on YouTube under Calibrated Resilience, where you can also find this podcast. Or you can find me on Facebook under Angela R. Strong. Our website is www.calibratedresilience.com. Next week, we'll explore the mind-body connection, building physical resilience, where we'll discover how our physical well-being interplays with our emotional and our mental resilience. This is Angela R. Strong, reminding you that every emotion that you experience is an opportunity to grow stronger, wiser, and more resilient. Until next time, embrace your emotional journey with courage and curiosity. Have a great week.
In a world of change, where do you belong? The answer's clear, it's time to be strong. Mindful growth, that's where we thrive. With Angela's guidance.